postman. I'm just a postman. Oh, baby, I'm just a postman.
Closets have been broken. We're not criminals anymore. What now? Let's have a conversation. Let's talk about that young boy from the village who liked boys. Let's talk about the girl from an Orthodox family ashamed of her breast. Let's talk about Hijra community. Let's talk about acceptance, inclusive workspace. Let's talk about rights. Let's talk about less hate and more love. What you're uncomfortable with doesn't mean that we don't exist. We exist and we are the future. And the future is queer. Take no pride in prejudice. Hello and welcome to your show, It's Your Postman, where the efforts are to create an ecosystem for everyone to feel welcomed without the fear of being judged. Today's episode is a very special one for me. The guest on today's show is one of my favorite stars. Zeeshan Ali, or Zeesh, is a drag superstar from the city of Bangalore, India. Now, the monologue that I just delivered in the beginning of this episode, is from one of Zeesh's video advertisements where Zeesh is trying to sensitize and destigmatize being queer. Zeesh prefers to be addressed as Zee or Zir as pronouns. More on this later. Zee is not only a superbly talented artist, but also uses Zir's platform to continuously talk about drag or queer-related issues, and also encourages audience involvement to make them feel warm and welcomed. Now, there are very few stars and artists who use their platforms to talk about issues. Zeesh, originally from Bombay, settled in Bangalore, is a drag performer at Kittisu India, a platform from the drag artists from across the country. Are you as excited as I am to know more about drag and Zeesh? Then let me not waste another moment, and please help me welcome Zeesh. A very, very warm welcome to you on the show, Zeesh. Thank you so much for agreeing to do this.
Thank you so much for making me a part of this. This is such a phenomenal platform where you can talk and let it all hang out. And I think it's essential to have a space where you can just communicate and educate people on topics that are relevant and needed. Thank you so much, Madhav, for having me here.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to have you. And thanks. Yes, it is definitely a platform where we can talk about issues that are prevalent and that are problematic and that are a stigma in the society, to break it and to see why it is a stigma. I think that's where I like to concentrate. Why is any particular topic a stigma? So let's dive into it. Let's talk about it. Let's understand. Let's have a dialogue is what I feel.
It's so essential. It's very essential. I'm glad you're doing this.
I'm super pumped to know more about your inspiration and your work. So let's dive right into it then. I'm about empathy, love, and gratitude. So, drag queen, the most important question. What is drag? What is drag for you? And what is drag in general? And why did you choose this as a profession?
So drag in general is putting on a character to perform. It could be a woman doing drag. It could be a man doing drag. It could be a trans woman, trans men doing drag. Drag is like a universal art that doesn't be bound by gender specifically, or gender roles. Mm-hmm. However, it's also a deep connection to exploring gender and performing gender. In so many ways. For me, I think what really stuck to me about drag was this bitty little phrase, which was, you're born naked and dressed as drag. That, I would understand you are born naked. When you're born, you're a young kid. You don't have any layers on. As you are born, you become a son. That's another drag, or son or daughter or whatever. That's another layer of drag that's added on to you. You grow up, you get into the world, you become a friend. That's another layer of drag added to you. Then you go into the real world, start working, you are in the office, you're in a corporate setting, you are performing, whatever. That's another form of drag for you. So for me, what I understood by drag is this layer of personalities which I added on to myself and sometimes removed off of myself. It's a very spiritual way of going ahead, thinking about that for me. And then it also became a way of a lot when it came to exploring and ideating my personality, understanding my core being and working of it. Through drag, I think that's what I've been exploring in a huge amount myself.
Okay.
And also, it's also a way to, showcase my skills and talents. My makeup artistry, my costume designing, my modeling, my body, talking about concepts and issues that I have been so closely related to. So drag became a medium to communicate in so many ways for me.
I'm about empathy, love, and gratitude.
I was watching RuPaul's Drag Race as we were having this conversation before. And I see even when RuPaul is having conversations in the workroom with the other drag performers, the conversations are very, sometimes very spiritual. And whatever RuPaul says, it's at the very, because you connect with your soul. When you're performing, when you're on the stage, you're someone else. What is your way of getting onto the stage? What is your preparatory steps, if I may, when you get onto the stage?
It depends performance to performance on depending on what sort of a performance am I doing. For an instance, there was a song by Radiohead, if you've heard about it, Creep by Radiohead. I had done a cover about on that. It's a very beautiful song about a person who just deems themselves as a creep and never sees themselves as equal to someone else and equal to their loved ones, or just demeans themselves. And in so many ways, we as queer people have always been forced to demean ourselves in all walks of our lives. So when I was, so all my performances are specifically something that are closely connected to me or connected to my community in so many ways. So when I was doing that song, I think before the performance, there was this big breakthrough moment of mine where I was like, for some reason, I was feeling very in that zone of almost the pity that I've always felt for myself due to the people around me. I think that was brought out before the performance. And when I was performing that, the eye contact when you're on stage and you're connecting with audiences around you and you're enacting the song, the goosebumps that you feel, and you can see it in the person's eyes, so that person can totally understand what you're trying to say right now, is such a connective moment between the artist and the audience. I think those are the moments that I live for when I come to perform, and when I have like a thought process going on. Prior to that, I think that really helps me convey my message, convey my ideas and emotions at that point of time.
Yes, I can't agree with you more, because I've performed a couple of times on stage. And
oh, wow, lovely.
If you, I sang, I made a fool of myself a couple of times on the stage. So,
hey, that's the best part. Making yourself the fool is the most beautiful part. I think if you do not enjoy being the fool, you cannot be a star even.
You cannot be on the stage.
It's very essential to be a fool, be that fool, because that is the beginning of the beauty and the glamour that's going to come with that.
Yes, yes. And it's empowering when you're on the stage, and when things just match, it is just super. That energy, nobody can explain. And I get you, what you're trying to say.
Absolutely. And that's the reason why I choose songs and I choose performances that are extremely close to me. And the performance then comes very naturally to me. Because then it's almost enacting a feeling or emotion that has been with me for years and years and years. So it's very personal, it's very authentic. And also, I know those are feelings that are very common between queer people, because we've all felt that in so many ways.
Absolutely.
We've all felt a form of disgrace. We've all felt that proud moment when we came out. We've all found the strength, from the deepest, darkest places of our heart and our being. So when something that is being performed, I feel everyone and anyone can connect to it.
I'm about empathy, love, and
Jeesh, what are the aspects of drag that you find interesting? And are there anything in drag that you don't like about?
I think the idea of you can be whoever you want to be, I've said this in so many of my earlier interviews as well. You know, you can be whoever you want to be. Today you're a king, tomorrow you're a queen, day after you're an alien. It doesn't matter.
Yes.
And it just breaks all the boundaries, you know.
Definitely.
It breaks gender norms. It breaks society norms. It breaks all forms of sexuality even. It's just a middle finger to anything and everything that has to constrict you in any form. Drag doesn't box you. And that's something that has been the key source that has kept me interested in drag. I'm not a person who enjoys monotony, and I think with drag it gives me more layers and more colors to play with, more emotions to express, and more people to connect with. I feel that's the reason I think drag has been so important and interesting for me even now. I think what I do not like about drag, I don't think I don't like anything about drag. But then what I don't like about people perceiving drag is when they put drag into boxes, when they put drag into the binaries where it's not about putting themselves in binaries, it's about pulling yourself out of binaries. So I think it's not what I dislike about drag, it's how people perceive drag that sometimes I might not connect with, probably.
Agreed. Agreed. Completely agree. Yeah, there is no point in talking or, you know, breaking your head with someone who doesn't understand what you're trying to do. And it's just a waste of energy.
You can put your point of view across, and if they understand, that's lovely. If they do not, maybe they'll come back after some years.
Yeah, there's no harm. I mean, it doesn't mean that the person...
Everyone needs to be ready for it, right? Yeah.
Yes. It's all about the mindset also. So, yeah.
Agreed.
Which brings me into the next question. In fact, thanks for bringing the point up. How do people react when you tell them what you do as a professional, and do they understand the drag way of...
I think, I would say in India, it's the mainstreaming of drag is still in its very early stage. So I feel sometimes it's misunderstood in several ways that drag is trans is drag, but then that's not the case. However, trans person can do drag, but it's not that all drag artists are trans in any way. Drag is also just a performance art, and it doesn't even have to be related to gender and sexuality. For some it is, for some it isn't. So I think some people get confused about that idea and that concept, and I think what is the need of the hour is more conversations on drag, more conversations on drag as a performance art. And I think that's what is happening slowly and steadily. A lot of mainstream magazines and mainstream shows are appropriating drag and showcasing drag in the right light that is needed. I think things are changing, but then I totally believe that people are still unaware about the concept of drag as a whole in India specifically. So I think that's something that is a struggle. But when it comes to my drag personality and my drag character, it's not very gender-oriented. So people do not get confused about that. They just think, oh, this guy is just fucked up doing shit. And I think that's, I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
It's always good to be an oddball.
Yes, absolutely. And one of the very interesting parts that you just saw, that, you know, pulling yourself out of binary, that you, it's not putting yourself in one, you're pulling yourself out of one.
Yeah.
And this reminded me of one of the episodes on RuPaul's Drag Race in one of the seasons where Sasha Velour was the winner. They had to drag their crewman, TV camera crew.
Yeah, correct.
I don't know if you've seen it. So that episode, they had to get the their camera people, camera team members as drag. And
drag them up,
And drag them up. And after the show, I still get goosebumps whenever I remember that particular scene. Every single one of them were in tears because it is such a difficult thing to do. And it is, you completely take off a particular skin and get into different. It is not at all.
Absolutely.
And yeah, it is. It was a beautiful episode, and I completely agree.
I think that's what I really enjoy whenever I do a transformation on someone else, because I am a makeup artist and I work as a makeup artist, and I've done a lot of drag transformations of on other people for music videos, for even for a wedding, for Mr. Keshav Puri, director of Lalit Hotels, yes.
Lalit Hotels,
so, and so many people, so many people, when you transform, the personality is shifted, you know, it just shifts.
Absolutely.
From that, it is so beautiful to see how each one reacts to the transformation. And each one has, wherever I have been a part of it, I've always seen each one finds something so unique about themselves, though they've already always had it, but they never explored it to the deepest core, as sometimes transforming helps them. And it's such a great feeling to see that happen in front of your eyes.
Yeah, and drag actually lets you tap into that inner, you know, voice, that energy that you've always put away.
Absolutely.
And I think it's very important for us to know if the platforms in which we can share the, you know, the skills that we have as drag queens or something. So I know that Kitty Sue is one of the largest platforms for drag shows in our country. But is it the only one that is available? And if someone is listening to the show,
So Kitty Sue has been one of the, so drag has always been there in India. I wouldn't say Kitty Sue has been the one that has brought drag in India. Drag was always there in India.
Right.
If you see about the Londa Nach and the several Indian art forms where drag has always been part. Drag is basically putting on a character, right?
Right.
So performance art wise, drag has been there. However, apart from that, in the cities, drag always existed in four walls. It would be in parties, parties and stuff like that. But then it was never made profit off of, was not seen as an art form. So people coming into this space changed that mindset as a whole in so many ways, which was absolutely, so many artists have gotten their bread and butter off of that.
Right.
But after that, I think that has... also been visualized in so many different ways, and people, for example, me being as a getting a gig as a host for Vogue Awards as a drag artist, as a drag, that was really valuous in so many ways. Sushant Digwikar going in Saregama Pa and singing her heart out in drag was breaking barriers.
Drag,
though, is limited to certain spaces, but I think more possibilities are being explored. Movies and ads and, you know, Manish Arora's fashion show last year, this year actually in Lakme Fashion Week, where there were around nine performance artists, and out of which nine, six were drag artists, including me. So drag is breaking, drag is, we are breaking boundaries and barriers when it comes to visibility in India itself, and it's being explored and applauded by people, which is great. But I feel as of yet, avenues where you go and see drag performers are very limited. Because people are still very, maybe even the club sets, because brands, for example, fashion shows and events and stuff like that, they are still quite daring when it comes to going into something new and different, or something even more when it comes to breaking barriers. But then clubs are a little more rigid, because the sole purpose of the income is mostly heterosexual community. And that sometimes could get a tricky, in a sticky space for them. So we are still exploring a few places that are opening up, but then they are still very limited. However, after pandemic, I think since we're in the pandemic era, everyone has started to do their own virtual events, which has liberated drag artists in so many ways also. But then the financial prospect and the avenue for revenue is quite limited on an online platform as of yet, though. We're still exploring, hopefully. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that I think is a problem in India with artists, even the theater space. People would want to pay 800 rupees or 1,000 rupees to go to a movie in Bangalore and Bombay, but wouldn't want to pay 200 rupees as an entry for a theater. We put it down. We don't respect it as much, and I hope it changes.
It's very sad, but I think that will change. I think we are coming to a time where we are supporting local artists and we are talking about things like that, which is so needed. I think that is a conversation we've always been afraid of for some reason, and we always have hyper-glamorized what was happening abroad and never applaud what is happening internally, internationally. I think that needs to change, and specifically right now where the markets are so shut down, I think we really need to support each other and support the local artist community in so many ways.
Definitely. I think what pandemic has done right now, like actually what you just said, has decentralized or unmonopolized the entire...
In so many ways.
And people have started to showcase their talents right from their own comfort zones, in their bedrooms, in their rooms. I can say the artists were pushed into that, but it also helped in decentralizing the monopoly of, you know, big names or big players.
In so many ways.
And I would like to, before moving on, I would like to congratulate you on your Sabyasachi collaboration, which was wonderful.
Oh my God, yes. Thank you so much. It's almost a year now to that.
It's almost a year now.
It was last year, September issue for Vogue, I think. Yes, that was amazing shoot, and I think that the same exact lehenga was the one that was worn by Priyanka Chopra for her wedding, I guess.
Wow.
It was such a surreal experience. It was iconic.
I can imagine.
Most iconic moments. Yeah, absolutely. And being in Vogue India, come on. Being on Vogue maybe must
definitely
be, for so many queer people, is such an space that we idealize in so many ways for some reason. Yeah. I don't know why. But even I have in so many ways. And being there and just being there as my authentic self, my chest showing, my hair flowing, and my ghagra like leheraoing, it was the most beautiful moment for me.
No, absolutely. Those photos are gorgeous. And I really hope we have more big names in the industry come and join hands with queer fraternity.
Absolutely. I think it's very needed. I think it's happening. I see it happening really loudly and proudly, and it's shifting. I do feel that it's still a lot of tokenism that exists, because hey, that's trendy and everyone wants to get a bite of it. I also feel there are some people who are doing things genuinely out of love and appreciation and acceptance from their heart, and it is not a form of tokenism. So I appreciate when that happens.
Absolutely. Well, even in the beginning, even if it is tokenism, it's good that it is happening. And
I am a person who always likes to see positive end to the story.
Yes, yes.
Even with tokenism, if another person a random person sees something, even if it's done on the sake of tokenism, but then that is still, you know, a good or bad press is still a press at the end of the day. And
even
a little visibility is always good, I would say.
Absolutely. And 40, 50 years ago, women in the industry were a token. Their presence now they are mainstream. You see Priyanka Chopra, you see Deepika Padukone. They are the central themes now. And there are many other, Vidya Balan, there are many other names I can't take any. But it's happening. And slowly queer people should be shown in mainstream as well, unlike showing or putting them in a corner and making them, a tool for jokes or something else and degrading them.
Yeah.
So, but we are heading towards good days, I hope.
We are.
I'm about empathy, love, and gratitude.
Zeesh, how did your faith, you come from an Islamic faith, right?
Yeah.
How did you accept yourself with your faith being so strict about some aspects of it. I'm not an expert in it, in Islamic faith, but I know for a fact that it is, any religion, any faith is quite restrictive, as that's what people tell us. When it comes to queer or expressing our talents and skills. So how did you get over it? How did you come out of it? How did you start to embrace it?
I personally come from a very strong, faithed Islamic family, personally.
Mm-hmm.
So I have been raised on all forms of Islamic teaching as I've grown up. But then I felt as I was discovering myself, as I was exploring myself and learning about myself, I really, there was a conflict when it came to Islam and to my present in being.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also come to terms where I took the teachings that were very set to me. For example, Zakat. For an example, just the word Assalamu Alaikum, which means may peace be upon you. I've chosen those words and those teachings that are really helpful to me as a person and for a community as a whole. And I've stuck to those and I've kept myself close and grounded with them. But then there are certain things which I maybe have not understood yet and I'm exploring and trying to still pick up answers for that, which are still not there with me, maybe. But I think it's good to find a level and a balance where you can still accept yourself and still be a part of a faith that you believe in.
So you are still practicing Islam and you're also practicing drag.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's so wonderful. And we don't see it very often. Many people who
Islam has taught me some amazing things. Islam has given me a great base value. Islam has given me so many things to look up to, like, you know, charity and respect of elders and rozas, which are extremely fabulous for your body. It's a form of detoxification and so many things which have been such a great value added things which have added value in my life. But there are certain things where I have never been able to understand because there are things when it comes to equality and patriarchy which exist in Islam which I have not been able to understand and maybe I would never because the teachings are, you don't know who the teachings are and what the teachings actually mean in so many ways because it's everyone's derivation at the end of the day.
Yes, you cannot remove things out of context.
Exactly. So I am still figuring out certain answers that I don't have of. And till then, I have made so much more peace with myself from maybe my teenage years.
One day at a time, like they say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Awesome. That's actually very important because a lot of people give up their faith because that faith doesn't talk about those aspects of their life, be it queer or be it straight, anybody. A lot of straight people have also renounced their faith,
absolutely,
Islamic or otherwise, or Christianity or any other religion.
Other religions.
And we don't know how to navigate between them and then we think that the faith itself is wrong. And it's actually a problem with a few people who show your faith in different light. And it's not the faith by itself which is problematic. It's people who spread hate using faith is the problem.
Exactly.
And we don't notice that.
In so many ways is the major, biggest issue.
Absolutely. I'm so happy that you are practicing Islam as well. So that's so sweet. Yeah, and that must have definitely come from your parents' upbringing. Your parents must have been very supportive of you and they must have been instrumental in shaping your ideologies. Can you tell a bit about your parents and how the journey has been?
So my parents have always been the biggest supporters to me. Growing up, I think me and my sister, my dad and my mom have said this, don't let anyone else limit you, but know till where can you fly and do not go beyond that if you don't feel comfortable. So that has always been something that has giving, not boundaries, but then made me understand where can I stand on and how far can I jump without getting myself hurt in a way. I think that's something that I've learned from my parents. Like my mom says this, like, bacche, this is a Hindi quote that she had said in an interview, which shocked and surprised me. She said, I'll try to interpret it in English because my Hindi is now screwed up. She said kids are like those little plant that is grown around a river. Whenever the water flows, it just moves and sways according to the water. But then if you start to stop the water, it will rot and, you know, decompose. So let it flow and let it move and let it find its own place as it grows. And that's something is so
motto.
It just changed my perspective towards her, my mother. It just changed my perspective towards her, because to think in such a distinguished manner and to your own child was so profound, I felt. And that's something that I think those extremely orthodox in so many ways, and they're still learning about things that are maybe we have understood in so many ways as children. But I think we've come to a point, me and my sister both, there was a time where our parents used to teach us and we were the learners. And now in so many ways, me and my sister teach our parents and they are the learners. It's a give and take of both sides. When we needed the learning, they gave it to us, and now we are teaching them certain things that they aren't aware about. It has been always a very healthy relationship between me and my parents, I think. Gladly, thankfully, and it's a blessing to have parents that can understand you and accept you as you are.
Yes.
It was a troubled time. It was hard work, and it was several arguments and so on and so on that we had to go through. But then love never dies, and I think love is the core and the answer to all, right? So eventually we came to a point where everything was all about acceptance and a space of love, and
it's so beautiful to hear what your mom said. I would definitely dig that interview out one day and hear her in Hindi. Yeah, I mean, it is so true. If you don't let someone to flourish, they will decompose at the end of the day. When you don't let a skill come out, it's going to die.
Exactly.
I would want to challenge anybody who is listening to this show to think, like, would you be interested in taking that, you know, responsibility of letting someone else's skill die, even if you don't agree to their way of life? Are you going to be responsible for that, or are you going to let them flourish? That's the question I think every parent or any child or any person who thinks of restricting someone else should, I think about. Thank you for sharing that. It's such a beautiful message. Like you said, it's such a good feeling to have your loved ones accept you. I'm about empathy, love, and gratitude. Is there any message that you would want to give to the parents of queer children and also the queer children? Because I know for a fact that, you know, there's a lot of angst within the queer children community, queer people, that their parents don't accept them. And that is,
I think,
for a lot of people, an end all. It's not an end all. There's a lot of life if your parents don't accept.
Yeah, it never is. I think the only thing that I have seen in my life personally, and so many friends and colleagues, and, you know, sometimes for me, I'll talk from my own experience. I think that's the best point I can give. For me to understand myself, it took me years. And even now, I'm still figuring out about myself in so many ways. To accept myself, it was hard fucking work to accept. I'm sorry for the language, but it was extreme hard work to accept myself and come to terms that, hey, this is what I am, and I accept it. And to push my of life onto my parents and expect them to accept it within that instinct is very selfish of me, I felt. So I feel, I think it's something that if for you it takes years and decades sometimes, and sometimes you're not even able to understand yourself for the longest amount of time. You can't expect your family to accept you in an instant. It's something that needs to be processed. It's something that needs time. It's something that needs education. It's something that needs conversation. And I feel that sometimes doesn't happen because kids are like, hey, I am queer and I want my parents to accept it. If that doesn't happen, I'm going to leave my house. Blah, blah, blah. It's that simple. It's not that simple. Bonds do not come and go that very easily. And specifically, bonds with your family and parents are something which are so beautiful. And that shouldn't be played with unnecessarily. Give them time. And I feel parents also need to have an open conversation with their children.
Yes.
Because I think that also, like, I was lucky for my parents to be open about sexual conversations and talk about things that were needed for me as a child, which so many people do not get. So I think that is something parents should be out there and available for their children to have conversations on something that are maybe awkward, maybe not commonly had between parents. But I think right now that time has gone and is changing in so many ways. I feel that's what my message would be. Is give each other the amount of time that is needed. And acceptance does come, but then it does take a bit of work to come. Like, it doesn't happen overnight.
Definitely, because we are all brought up with conditioning. So if we ourselves have 20, 25 years of or 30 years of conditioning, imagine our parents having 60 years of conditioning and you suddenly drop a bomb.
And we live in a world which is far ahead than what our parents have lived in.
Yeah, they can't understand.
It comes with a lot more time. Exactly, exactly. I think that's what I think is lacking in the queer community in so many ways, that we completely disregard where our parents have been brought up, the conditioning that they have received from their parents. Because it takes like decades to break barriers for yourself, and for them it's even more difficult.
Absolutely. And also for parents, I mean, since we are talking about parents and the children, we should also, as parents, we should also understand that, you know, our kids are coming from a different generation. Their upbringing is in this generation and not ours. So even they should get out of their comfort shoes and try and understand.
Absolutely. There's a lot of communication. I think the best way is to be able to communicate with each other. If you can't communicate, I think the understanding would never happen.
Absolutely. And I think one of the major issues in Indian families, I'm going to talk about Indian families, is we like to push everything under the carpet. We will not talk about it. Any uncomfortable discussion, let's not discuss. Finger on the lips. So that needs to change unless you get out of your comfort zone.
Because it's always so connected to shame, and it's always so connected to, oh, if this happens, what will the others think? What will the jijas and the salas and the bhabis and the kakas and the kakis will think? And I think that has always screwed up a lot between parents and children as a whole, in our Indian society specifically.
Yeah. Sharma ji ka beta is a classic example of what society thinks. Like, for everything is Sharma ji ka beta. So, yeah, we've been... So we've been brought up in that conditioning, and as you rightly put, we both have to, the parents and the children, we both need to work out of our comfort zone.
You have to walk the bridge and come to a middle point. You cannot own the entire bridge and say, okay, this is what I want, this is what it is, and that's the end of it. No, you
come
have
to, my
to
side,
spend some
yeah.
time to, yeah, it, you have to both walk to the center of the bridge and build that space for each other.
Yes. Yeah. No, absolutely, very true. And anyway, society is very judgmental. That there is no way that we can, you know, nazarandaz nahi kar sakte. Society is very judgmental, and we cannot ignore that fact. But how has your experience been with the society or your friends when you started coming out as a drag queen?
Yeah.
How was their reaction, and what do you have?
So, you know, I've been lucky to have, like, my blood family, which where I was born. Mm-hmm. And I have my queer family, which I made for myself.
Right.
And I think me being able to navigate this world would have been extremely impossible without those people that came into my life that in so many ways saved me. So I think I have been blessed with these people around me that have always comforted me and pushed me to be who I wanted to be. So my drag journey started way early before even the drag culture got prominence in India, maybe even.
Because
I was playing with makeup, costumes, and modeling with myself in my room, taking pictures and putting up on social media. And there was no concept of performance, but then it was also just like exploring and showcasing my skills and talents. So when that started happening, all my close friends were wowed by it. And everyone has been, since then till now, everyone has been extremely supportive of it. Some of it didn't even understand it, but still was supporting, so I'm grateful to that. I have been very lucky to be surrounded by loving people around me. I think that's what I radiate. I don't have an huge amount of a circle. I have a very limited, close-knit group of people that are around me. And I think they are the best people that I can ever wish for. I think I have been blessed with these people.
It is absolutely important. And the mental health issues with the queer people, with the queer community, it's known fact that, you know, queer people are twice or thrice as likely to die by suicide.
By mental health,
depression. So how do you have these conversations with people? What are your steps, and how can we as listeners, you know, do the same and extend the conversation beyond our comfort zones? Like, what do you have to say about that?
I think for me, it's not that I am immune to mental health issues and dysphoria, because I think growing up, we've collected so much of crap that to unlearn and pull those things out of us takes a lot of work, and a lot of hard work, actually. But having people around you that emit positiveness, whom you can go and speak without shame, fear, and anxiety, I think that has always worked for me. I think there are certain things which I couldn't speak to my own family. I built a family to whom I can speak to. I have queer friends from all age groups, from all gender spectrums. And different professions, and I think each one's advice have been valuable to me. So what I feel is very essential is to find a group, though there is a community. The community will always be there, and if you need help, the community will be there to listen and hear you out.
Right.
But then sometimes reaching out to even the community is very difficult. And so having a group of people within the community that you can be completely open to is very essential. Is very, very essential to navigate the queer life in so many ways. Because not everyone can understand your journey like a queer person can. So having them is something that really helps. And specifically when you are in dark times, conversations are the only thing that can push you up and get you out of your own head.
Absolutely. No, what you just said about support system, it is so important. If you're queer or not, if you're straight or not, if you're the prime minister or the president.
Anyone, actually.
Yeah. And the awareness is so abysmally low in this country with regards to mental health. Things like loneliness. One day I read in an article that loneliness is such a harmful disease that it is equivalent to smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Cigarettes come with a statutory warning that it will kill you. Loneliness does not, and we don't even talk about it. So it is so important for us to keep having this.
It's highly infested right now because we are living in such a virtual space.
Yes.
We do not have companions sitting next to us.
No.
Virtually, we are still not yet evolved virtually enough to be in a space of comfort. And I think that will take years for that to even happen. But then I think right now what we miss are real connections, real human-to-human interactions, which are really missed right now. And right now is even more the most toughest time for young individuals, queer or not.
Yes.
I think it's a very difficult phase for them to go through this. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very unfortunate time anybody is seeing right now. Fortunate or unfortunate, mm-hmm. but it is a very difficult time that we are seeing right now.
A coin has both sides, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I think we can use this pandemic time to become a better version of ourselves and to have very deep reflection.
Educate, heal, and in so many ways, yeah.
I'm about empathy, love, and gratitude.
A lot of work that we have to do is to educate the society, like you were saying. But there has to be some role for the society also to do, right? And what do you think the society needs to do? Like, we are also a part of the society. I'm not saying we are away from the society
Absolutely.
And society. We are a part of it. What do you think we should do as a part of society? Like, how... let's say, for example, a drag queen's life or a drag king's life and a trans person's life. There are many other trans people, hijra, intersex communities, which is very difficult for us to understand. Gay and lesbians are more mainstream in the LGBTQ community. And like you said, token, the trans and intersex and drag queens are used as a token in a lot of places. So how can we get the TQIA plus people into mainstream, and what are the steps that the society can, you know, where can we start rather?
I feel as a society, we have always been shunning voices which are non-palatable, which are a little difficult to understand, which are a little more non-simpler than maybe a lesbian and a gay story, which is still a little bit more palatable than gender non-binary people, than hijra community, than, you know, gender non-conforming people. And I feel that's what needs to change right now, is that to create a space not only for the L and G, which is lesbian and gay people, but
gay people.
The entire spectrum as a whole, and not shun voices just because you can't understand it. Create time to understand it. I feel that as a society, what can be done is being able to accept, understand, and educate each other. I think as a society's role would be that, to make it a more inclusive space. And I feel also, we are great platforms have come about where they feature artists and when they showcase drag artists or gay people or lesbian people and hijra people. But then, sadly, we still don't have platforms enough that are giving out jobs to these people. We are just being used as friends and as a show pony almost. But then we are not receiving jobs that are actually we are capable to do. And I feel that's a change that we need to make in the society and at these platform levels as well.
I'm sure. Yeah, because we see a lot of times when, even if there is a gay character, unless it's a gay themed story, when there is a gay character, even the gay characters are used as a sidekick.
Always.
There are few shows these
very
days.
Few.
Yes. Yeah, very few shows like Made in Heaven or some shows where the protagonist himself or herself is, you know, a lesbian or a gay.
Yeah.
But I think given the way we are heading, do you think it's going to take a little more while for us to be more accepting or?
Sadly, yes, I feel it will take some time. It will take a lot of work from people like you, people like me, and other amazing people who are willing to bring out voices and bring out voices from all spectrums. I think it will take some time, but I certainly feel there is hope, for sure.
Yes, yes. Hopeful, yes. We should all always be hopeful. Even
certainly.
If, you know, the worst things are happening around, but there is only, there's always
This time has been the most difficult for people who have already been shunned from the society.
Yes.
And this time has been further more difficult because people who are living with their families and all that, and families not being accepting this time is really troublesome. So the kindest thing the society as a whole can do is be a little bit more accepting, for sure.
Absolutely. And times like these, only people also come along and to help other people.
Absolutely.
Like we saw in April, May, June, when the country was in the lockdown.
Yeah.
The transgenders and the Hijra community people came out and gave chai, biscuits, helped from their own earnings.
Yeah.
Like that definitely.
And their earnings were already shut down in a way.
Yes, completely shut down. Their only way of money was prostitution or begging.
Yeah.
Because of lockdown. So yeah, I completely agree with you. That's a cool, that's a great point. Zeesh, how do you deal with stress? We've been talking a lot about stress these days, right? How do you deal with stress? What's your stress buster?
I have a few. My one would be just calling up a friend and just talking about it for hours and hours. I think that has always worked for me. But I think I am a person who likes to talk my stress out of me in so many ways.
Okay.
So speaking to close people has always been really beneficial. For me, if there is something that's, you know, bothering me, just sitting down and creating something eases that out of me in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
If it's just like even just shutting the door, playing some music and dancing the misery out of me, and so that works too. I have these crazy, crazy ways of stress release that kind of works for me.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes just creating a headpiece and just gluing things together and just letting the structure or sculpture form on its own can be extremely releasing, because while I'm doing it, I'm processing a lot of things and seeing my issues as a third person, that always works for me.
Wow, that's a very important point. Seeing your point of view, seeing your problems as a third person. We don't do that.
That has worked for me and worked like leaps and bounds for me. Because sometimes your own issues to yourself could look very real and very, problematic. But then when you see the issues as a third person standing up above, completely away from your own self and your own miseries, that changes the perspective in so many ways. And for me, that has worked a lot.
Absolutely. And it also replaces the victim card.
Yeah.
When you stop seeing yourself as a victim, see yourself as a third person, it gives you a lot of, you'll see that you're not actually a victim.
You see different perspectives. Yeah.
Absolutely. What are your goals, Zeesh, next? What are your plans? Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
So, the thing is that whenever I've had goals, they have changed very quickly. And I have achieved things which I've never imagined. So I stopped having goals per se, like legit goals. I want to be here in the next 5 years and next 10 years. I want to be there and da da da. But I have like subtle nuances where I want to see myself, and maybe not as elaborative, maybe not as specific, because I feel I like the fluidity of it and like to enjoy each day, every day as it comes. But also I've seen having a certain vision does help in progressiveness and progression. So, I do have very subtle goals and aims in my head when it comes to it, but not very specific where that could be spoken off of. It's something that's very personal to me for some reason.
I'm not going to be prying on your personal space. I hope you get all your goals. I hope you get
Amen.
You go beyond your goals. I really want you to see. Amen. I want to see you
and
go.
And that's the thing, because sometimes what happens when you put a certain goal and you kind of block yourself, I feel personally. So
it's
good to not have sometimes whatever works for you at the end of the day, that's the key. For me, having goals have not worked for me. For me, what has worked is navigating things as it comes and finding the best place and best things to do at that point of time. And that has always made me reach points in my life that maybe I have never imagined I could even.
Wonderful. And as I said, I wish you all the best, but nothing else. Thank you so much. I have a few questions which are, quick questions to get to know you more. Before we get onto that, I promised the audience in the beginning of the show that we would talk about pronouns, which is a part of inclusiveness as well.
Yes.
Can you please help us understand what is the importance of pronoun, and why do we need to ask the other person before the pronouns and not assume that he or she is what the mainstream pronoun is?
I think, first of all, we are so used to the visual aspect and identification through visual or what we see. And that is in so many ways wrong, because what you see and what you perceive is not always 100% true. So it's extremely essential to ask someone their pronouns, because that could lead to a lot of dysphoria, a lot of mental issues to the person that you are identifying as. So it's firstly, it's the best way to do is just ask the person what are your pronouns and what you prefer, and trying to be trying to stick with that specifically, not questioning, oh, why, or da-da-da-da. Just, you know, what's your pronoun? If the person is like, hey, my pronouns are he or she, you go with he. And if the person says she, you go with she. And that's about it. So I think it's very essential, firstly, and specifically when it comes to queer people, since we've been boxed and we've been living dual lives and hiding ourselves and so many other things, it, it becomes extremely traumatic for people to go through that. Yeah. So that's very essential. For me, I am like, if it was something that I had to figure out in my own space and time, and I have come to the space where I'm cool with he, I'm cool with she, I'm cool with everything. But I specifically prefer Z as gender neutral, so it's neither masculine nor female, feminine. And I think that's the space where I am coming from at the moment, where I see my mental space at. And Z is also the first two letters of my name, which is Zish, Dragon, Zish, and Zishan.
Yes, yes, yes.
So it works that way. Is also a great way to market and brand. And also, it's something that is so personal and works for me.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is so important for us to realize that not every single person would want to be addressed like the other.
Exactly.
They have some sense of individuality, and, you know, it's best, since you ask what your name is, since you're so concerned about asking for someone else's name, go one step extra and ask them. Yeah, because in a conversation, you will end up using a pronoun. So you might as well know what it is. So it is absolutely, it's not only about talking about inclusion. Inclusion also has to take into account how to address people.
It has to be implemented.
And it is very important.
Yeah.
Definitely. I'm about empathy, love, and gratitude. So I've got six questions. Okay, and these are going to be one word or one sentence, or you can go beyond if need be.
I'll try.
Try as short as possible, but if not, you can go more than one sentence.
Done.
That's not an issue.
Done.
If not drag, what would you have done and why?
I'm very elaborate, if I'm sorry. Can't help it. Comes with the territory.
No problem.
So I was doing medical before I got into fashion.
Okay.
So I think if I wouldn't have explored my creative side, I would have stuck to medicine for sure.
Okay, wonderful. What do you believe in, competition or collaboration?
A collaboration. I feel that's the best place to be, because you get to combine two individualities, two ideas, two personalities, two or more personalities, but that depends on the number of collaborators. And it's the best, best place for learning, growth, and achieving.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you. Even I believe in collaboration, by the way. I
agree.
Personally,
it's really powerful.
It is. Because I personally do not like competition. I don't like the word hate, so I'm not going to use it. But I really, personally, am not a fan of perfectionism or competition, because both are synonymous at one level.
True.
So not a big fan. Thanks for that. Yes.
Love that.
Absolutely. Pani puri or pizza?
Pani puri any day.
Yes, Pani Puri, any day. If you get to live anywhere in the world or anywhere you want, why restrict to Earth? Where would that be?
Maybe on clouds. I really enjoyed this whenever I'm in plane and during the daytime. I really enjoyed looking at those imaginary castles and structures and clouds that you see, you know, from a tiny little window in the airplane. I think I'd really enjoy to be, I would love to live on clouds for sure. Maybe there could be a ladder to come down even, but yeah, clouds are something that I would love to live on.
I don't know, I cannot say it with certainty, but I'm very sure that that can be a future, a floating house.
You never know,
the way
we
are growing.
I agree.
We can, so we have Pushpakviman anyway.
That so works.
So, amen. Inshallah, you might get to stay in clouds.
Yes, you never know.
This one is going to be interesting. Sasha Velour, Violet Chachki, Aquaria. Marry, friend zone, sleep with.
I think I would sleep with Aquaria. She looks kind of hot. Violet, marry, because there's a lot of money there. Sasha, friend zone, because she's really smart and she would be a great comrade in a way.
Awesome. Okay. Cool answer. Thank you. Yeah. So, last but not the least, drinks and a quiet conversation on a Saturday night or a party at a club dancing away?
I would go for a good party on Saturday night, come back after the party and have a house party and conversation with alcohol or just a cup of coffee first just to calm down. I think I would like both. I am as much an extrovert as an introvert. I'm ambivalent or whatever that word is. So I need both of that to be happy, I think, to be satisfied in a way.
Awesome. And you can have both. I was asking
you
for a preference.
You can have best of both worlds.
Definitely. Why not? Who's stopping?
Absolutely.
So, thank you so much, Zeesh. It was an absolute pleasure talking to you, and your insights have been so helpful and so spot on that I really, really am sure that the audience is going to enjoy every single bit as much as I did.
I'm so glad. Oh, my God. It was an hour and I didn't even realize. It was such
an
amazing
right?
conversation. Thank you so
it
much.
It was. Thank you. And you've been a wonderful person. And
you
I
have
wish
been
you...
just a delight.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I wish you nothing but the best and more magazine covers and more countries to go.
Amen.
India.
Amen.
Yes, let the pandemic stop and we shall go. All the best, please, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Lord.
Thank you. I'm just a postman.